Today we started Siman Kuf Yud. Again, we're not really going to be able to go through the Klalim, you know, the Klalim or the Pratim of Siman Kuf Yud. We're just going to like highlight some of the applications of some of the principles that we come across in Siman Kuf Yud, because the applications are really, the applications are very instructive, meaning a lot of times you learn principles and you're like, oh, it sounds like good up there, but like until you see like how it plays out in Halacha, it's hard to understand how it would play out in Halacha. And they're also very interesting to see how these principles play out in Halacha. So the Shach in Sifkat Bei says that if a person, if you have an Isra Hana'ah, which is Nisariv Be'elef, so Tosa says, and again, it's a Dabar Chashuk, so it's not Batel, right, but it's an Isra Hana'ah, so Tosa says you can sell it to an Akum Chutz Midmei Isra Shabbat. Meaning, if let's say you have 1,001, one of them is the Isser, but it's not Batel because it's a double Chashuv and it's an Isra Hana'ah. So now that it's not Batel, you would think the whole Taroves is Asr Ba'ana'ah. He says, no, if you find a guy to sell it to, you could sell it to a guy, Chutz mi Dmei Isra Shabab. So you have a trefa steak that gets mixed with 100 kosher steaks. Go to a guy, tell him I have 100 steaks to sell you, and he'll offer you the price for 100 steaks, and then deliver 101 steaks, right? You deliver the whole Tarovis, and that's going to be fine. You just have to make sure that he doesn't turn around and sell it to a Jew afterwards, because for a Jew, that's going to be Asir. So that's the Kiddush of the Shach, that you're allowed to do that, that you can then move that forward. Now, the Yehuda has a Maisa Shahaya related to this idea of a Dover Chashuv not becoming Batel, that Poskim quote, Rabbanim quote all the time. It's oftentimes misquoted, so you got to look in the original source and you see what exactly the Maisa was. So Maisa Shayekachaya Nadbiyudu Madura Kama Simin Lamin. Madura Kama is Nadbiyudu's, most of his original chuvas and his original chidushim were printed in Madura Kama. As we pointed out, Shach pointed out, Madura Tinyana is most often the Nadbiyudu defending his Piskei Halacha from Madura Kama, or Chuvus Miben HaMechaber that were added from his son, who was also a very great Talmud Chacham. So Nadbiyudu Madura Kama Simin Lamin says the following. There was a woman who borrowed a couple of pans from her neighbor to cook something in, and then she cooked something that day. She immediately emptied the pans, and she returned those two pans to her neighbor that she borrowed them from. What did she cook? She cooked dairy in it. She made, lasagna in these pans, and then the owner took it back, and on that very same day, right, that's critical over here, right, when it's Ben Yomo, on that very same day, the owner of the pans, when she got them back, cooked kreplach in those pans that night, and they were filled not with meat, with parv. They were filled with parv. So it was parv kreplach, so far no problem. But the pan was greased with shumen. It was greased with animal fat. So that's besari, right? So now she greased these pans where she made these kreplach with something that is fleishig, and there's milch glios in these pans. So now, right, you don't have to be the world's greatest expert in basar b'chalav to realize you have a problem over here, right? Now you have basar b'chalav kreplach, right? So so what's the shayla? Kreplach and basar b'chalav, throw them out, have a nice day, you know, nothing you can do about it, kosher your pants, right? What else can you do about it? However, case was that the neighbor borrowed two pans. The woman put those two pans away, got mixed in with all the rest of her pans, and she used 9 pans to bake kreplach, including those two. And now she has 90 kreplach, let's say 10 kreplach in each pan. So now she has 90 kreplach, 20 of which are basar b'chalav, and 70 of which are perfectly kosher. Right? So, what's this? This is a tarovas of yavish b'yavish, min b'mino, halacha is Batel Brov, even Midrabanan, right? Meaning that's that extreme example of where you could have Batel Brov even Midrabanan. It's min b'mino, yavish b'yavish, Batel Brov, afilu Midrabanan, right? So the Chora should be kasher. What's the counter argument? Maybe these kreplach are a davar chashuv. So you have 20 kreplach that are a davar chashuv, and if they're a davar chashuv, they can't become batel. I don't know, when they sell kreplach, maybe they sell them by number. You go and you buy a dozen, or you buy five, or you say what number. You don't say, give me a pound of kreplach. I don't know how it is sold now, but maybe that's the way it was done in the days of Nedev Yehuda. So and if you assume like the Ramah, that's what we're looking for when we're determining what's a davar chashuv, right? Yesterday's Ramah, right? So what do you do over here? So Nedev Yehuda says, kreplach might be very liskavi, but it's not a problem. Because, why is it not a problem? What's the counter argument? Oh, Shuman is not Roy Liskabik. The Krebelach aren't Asur Machmas Atzvah. They're only Asur Machmas the Shuman. The Shuman is not Roy Liskabik. So some poskim took it a step further and they said, and what if those Krebelach were filled with meat? What would you say then? So then it's Asur Machmas Atzvah, then they are Dovah Chashuv. So some wanted to tell you that, no, a Krebelach is meat with like dough around it, right? That you build around it. The meat, the little chopped meat that's inside the kreplach, is not a davar chashuv. It's only the whole unit that's a davar chashuv. So maybe if the meat itself is not a davar chashuv, so the guf ha'isr needs to be right in the skabit, and not just that the real skabit has become usr from the guf ha'isr. So maybe you could even be making that far, but no, it's not, right? I mean, he doesn't say that, because that wasn't his case. So you would need a raya to take it that far. I mean, the Yehuda was talking about where they just greased the pan with Shuman, and therefore it's clearly not Asur Machmas Atzvah. That was Mutter. So that's one application of this halacha in Sif Aleph. Okay, Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch tells us, Bali Chaim Shin Sarva Ba'Cherim, when you have a Dabar Chashuv, it's only Chashuv because it's alive, and then when you shecht it, you lose that Chashivus, they can become Batal, but only if you shecht the Bishogeg. So, It's interesting that the Mechaber brings Bali Chaim Shenishkatu. The same Lechor is true of a Gozi Perek Rimoni Badan that get chopped up or anything else. And in fact, the if you look in Baragola Osei, he points out that the Makor of this din is a case of Rimonim that got chopped up. So it's a little funny that the Mechaber chooses as his example Bali Chaim Shenishkatu, but be that as it may, that's his example. Yeah, so his chiddush is that a davar shebeminyan is only not going to become batel when the iser is, meaning when it itself is the chashuva thing, when the iser is the chashuva thing. But over here, it's not, again, the idea of it not being asur machmas atzma will even help for davar shebeminyan, right? That's the chiddush of the Yudah. Now, so okay, sif beis is sif beis. Now let's move on to sif kibbel. This is where the challenging part begins. There are two parts. There's of Sif Gimel that need to be looked at, and each part is critical. There's the Mechaber and the Ramah, and there's the Shach and Sif Katan Yadalit, as we pointed out. Other than the Klali Svek Sveka, this Shach Sif Katan Yadalit is the most important Shach in Simin Kuf Yud. So you don't want to miss this Shach. So Mechaber tells us as follows. You have Teisha Chanuyos, Mokros Basar Shchuta, Achas Mokheres Basar Nevela, 9 stores that are selling Shechted meat, 1 store selling Nevela meat, and you bought meat from one of the stores, and you don't know which store you bought from. Rove of the stores sell kosher meat. Doesn't matter. It's kavua. You got it from the makum kavua. It's kemechzal nafsadami. Aval basra nimso b'shuk al biyadav chavim mutter. But if you just find basra in the shuk, or you find the biyadav chavim, then it's going to be mutter. Why? Given shorav achanuyas mokhus basra shluta. They call the parish miruba parish zeudin tova. That since most of the stores are selling kosher meat, midoraisa, you can follow the road when it's parish called the parish, miruba parish. Aval, chachamim asru, aval pisha kalashotim kalamokrim Yisrael. Nevertheless, chachamim asru. So a guy buys a sandwich from a store and he doesn't remember where he bought it, even if he's in Bnei Brak, where most of the stores are selling kosher meat, or he's in the Five Towns, or he's in Borough Park, or whatever, where most of the stores are selling kosher meat, sveiko lahachmir. What's the svara? There is no svara, right? I mean, Shach and Sif Katan Tezvav writes, Hachi Alfim Babakamad Af Memdalin, Parakamad Xubasav Tezvav, Mikra Deva'arav Lo Vakam, Prat Lazarik Evan, Lechaburus Anashim, Shamdu Sham Tes Yisrael, and Vachad Akum. You throw a rock into a group of people, 9 Jews, 1 non-Jew, Depater Misham Savi Nefash Slahakel. And you kill, you don't know which guy you killed, whether it was the one of the 9 Jews or the non-Jew. Are you Chayav Misa? Savi Nefash Slahakel. The Avagav de Rov Yisraelim, Mikal Makam Avle Kavua, Kamechzal Mechzadami. That even though it's Rov Yisraelim, Kol Kavua is Kamechzal Mechzadami, and therefore we view it as a 50-50 Safik. And what do you do when you have a Savi Nefash? You always go Lakula. Vita. And he says, by the way, kol kavua kemechza lemechza works both lekula and lechumra. What would be the reverse? Kegon teisha chanuyos mokros basar nevela. How could it be that kol kavua is a kula? We had a case where kol kavua is a chumra. I had 9 stores selling basar kasher. It was in Bnei Brak, and I bought a sandwich. Now I have to be machmir because it's avi daraisa lechumra. Well, if you have 9 stores selling basar nevela, and you bought from one of the stores, and 1 store selling kosher meat, and you bought from one of the stores. stores, and the suffix was about Nisr Drabanan. They weren't selling Basar Nevela Midrabanan, they were selling Stam Yenam or something like that, right? They were selling something that's a Bishlakum, they were selling something that's only Asr Midrabanan, and I don't know, did I buy from one of the Bishlakum stores? I'm a Svardi, and most of the restaurants are, I'm not, but I'm saying if, in case you didn't know, most of the restaurants are Ashkenazi restaurants, and they're all doing what I call Bishlakum, but what they think seem to think is perfectly okay. And only one of the stores is doing Bishul Yisrael Legamri, like a Svardi. So I'm not sure, I don't remember which store did I buy from. So it's a Suffolk on a Din to Rabbanan. So now, says the Shach, you can say, Kol Kavok Metzal Nachzadami, Sveiko Lahakel. So it works Lahakel as well. So it's a Kula, in the case where most of the stores sell Yisurim to Rabbanan, and one store sells something that has no Yisurim at all, not the Rabbanan, not the Raisa, and you don't know where you got it from, you can rely on the Kula. Good, that's the Klal of Kol, the Parish Mirub Parish, Kol Kavok Metzal Nachzadami. Now, when the Mechaber says, Aval Chachamim Asru, Aval Pisha Kala Shochtim Kala Mochrim Yisrael, Shach points out that he's talking about a different din. What do you mean Aval Chacham Masru? We don't hold the Kol Kavol Kvetzal Natsadami, we don't hold the Kol Parash Mubah, what do you mean Chacham Masru? So he says, no, you have a different problem. Because if you're buying meat, you're buying that which we refer to as Basar Shenasali Minayin. It's a different halacha in Yeridaya. It doesn't even really belong in the Simen. That there's a din that if no one has been guarding the meat, no one has been watching it, no one, you don't have the same eyeballs on it to make sure that it's the same, that it's the same meat, well then it's not, you know, you can't trust that it's the same meat. It's going to be aser. Now it happens to be that for Ashkenazim, we paskin not that way. We hold Basar Shenasalim Minayin as mutter. We're not worried that it was switched out for a different item of food. Any unguarded meat, Svardim are always going to be machmir about it. Ashkenazim will often be mekel about it. It happens to be that if you have a food that's very commonly treif, we're going to learn about it hopefully after Pesach, you need simanim when you, you know, you need a simon. And some things need a double simon. A chatichas dag needs a double simon. Basar needs a double simon. Yayin needs a double simon. Tcheles needs a double simon. The packaging of petil tcheles is done in such a way where there's a sticker on the thing, plus the seal around the package, because you need a double simon to verify the authenticity of tcheles, right? The simon to remember it is chavis, right? Chavis is what are the things? Chatichas dag. It's cheating a little bit, but so you have chatichas dag, basar, yayin, tcheles, right? Those are the things that need a double simon. But in its essence, basar shenasali min ayin, or davar shenasali min ayin, is not necessarily problematic. So it's not always going to be a problem. It happens to be that this comes up sometimes. I just got a shayla of a fellow who's on an extended business trip. He got a job working for a bank that's based in Singapore. So he lives in New York and he works in New York all the time, but he had to go to Singapore for 3 weeks to like meet all the people. Texted him, how's it going in Singapore? He's like, you know, well, people are very nice. I just can't tell the difference between any of them. But then, so he said that what kind of kosher restaurants are there in Singapore? So there aren't very many, but there's a rabbi who we spoke to who he said he seems to really know what he's doing, and then there's one vegan place which does not have the hashkacha. But the rabbi had it on his approved list, so he went to the rabbi. If it doesn't have hashkacha, like why is it on the approved list? He said I can't give an hashkacha because it's open on Shabbos, so I won't give a hashkacha. But I go in almost every day. I check all the ingredients. I make sure that this is a bedikas tolaim and everything. Meaning, like I do as if I'm giving hashkacha. Essentially, I have no idea what goes on there on Shabbos because I'm not there on Shabbos. So I don't think I would order something from there, like, you know, Motzei Shabbos or Sunday morning, right? So the store technically doesn't have hashkacha. And it's a non-Jew that owns the store. So he said that he's having a business meeting, the only store they're able to order from is that store. They're able to order food for him, and it's a lunch meeting. He can't show up with no lunch. So he said, it's ready to be embarrassed because it's you know, it's a falafel ball and hummus, you know, so what's vegan, right? So it's so everyone else is going to be eating their crabs, and he's going to be eating you know, falafel balls and hummus. But the shaila is, when they deliver it to the office, there's not going to be any simanim on it, there's not going to be any, like, You know, it's not going to be sealed with vod tape that, you know, that's because it's not under the hashgacha. So they don't have vod tape. So can he rely on that? You have to assume that maybe the guy switched it out. So for an Ashkenazi, you probably can rely on that. You probably don't have to assume that that anyone switched it out in terms of the siman that are necessary. Normally, when this happens, normally the shayla is something gets delivered to your office, and the secretary was so nice that she opened it up for you. So by the time you see it, it's all the vod tape has been removed, all the thing. So now you're left with the dish, but you have no seal on it to know that it's the same. So normally it's easy because it's coming from a restaurant with hashgacha. So you just take a picture of it, you send the picture to the mashgiach of the restaurant, and you say, "Hakirna, is this the same food that left your restaurant?" And if he says yes, then it's fine. Then he has recognition of the food. But anyway, the big challenge of this sif is really figuring out what determines kavua and what determines parush. And Tosos in Maseches Gittin of Samach Dalid and other places also, in Kiddushin Avav, I think, says that anything that's nikar b'makomo is called kavua. If it's eino nikar b'makomo, then it's not called kavua. Rabbi Reisman spoke last night in Rabbi Isaac Rice's shul in Yulet. He never goes anywhere to speak except for the Agudah or for Torah Das. You can't get him to speak anywhere. Rav Palm told him, you only speak for the Agudah or for Torah Das, otherwise your life will be crazy. You'll end up always running around. You'll never be, never be the Talmud Chacham you could become. I can relate to all of them. So you can be running to, this school in the middle of the day, and that, you don't need this in your life. So that was what he was told by Rav Palm. I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Shechter. Rabbi Shechter goes everywhere as long as someone asks, and they don't even have to ask nicely. And he goes, so okay, and somehow he managed to become a pretty big Talmud Chacham anyway. But anyway, so that's his Mesorah. He doesn't go anywhere. So why did he go to Rabbi Rice's shul? Because Rabbi Rice, speaking of Milcha Mariv, every night for the last year and a half, has been learning another halacha from Hilchos Ribbis, from Rabbi Reisman Sefer and Ribbis. So they just finished the whole Sefer. So they're making a siyum on the Sefer. So for that he came, that they made a siyum on the Sefer. So why do I mention this? Because he said that he was talking to someone about a shayla that came up in Hilchos Ribbis that related to Kol Kavua or Kol Deparish. We'll see soon that this is very critical. The whole Quicken Loans shayla, I don't know if you're holding in a whole shayla with Quicken Loans and the Heteriska, it relied a lot on having to figure out whether it was Kol Kavua or Kol Deparish. We'll get to it. But he said that he was that someone came over to him at a chasana, and it was a Talmud Chacham who gives shir in a very famous yeshiva. And the Talmud Chacham said, "I have a shayla." And he asked him the shayla, and he said, "I don't know if he actually says this to people, but he said, I said to the guy, look, you don't learn halacha because you're such a lamdan, so you can't learn halacha. Look, that I know. But this is a Tosos in Kiddushin Davav. How do you not know the din of Nikar B'Makomo?" So the guy said, I don't learn B'Kius. We never get to Davav, B'Ilim, Davav is not so fun. So the Tosos in Kama Makomo's B'Shaz, that in order for it to be Kavua, it needs to be called Nikar B'Makomo. What's Nikar B'Makomo? So in Simon Kuf Yud Dalet, Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch gives a simple case. A person is going out to the market or to a street vendor to buy pickled food, and that pickled food is almost always kosher. But sometimes they add a little bit of stam yegam into it, so sometimes it's not kosher. So he has to figure out if he can be so mich that it's kosher. Kol's man shalo yadua kein shi irvu bo talina lakula shemalo irvu. As long as you don't know that this is not kosher, you can assume it's kosher, because maybe they didn't mix it in. If he doesn't know that it's a problem, assume l'kula. And the same is true by all Yisroim d'Rabbanan. However, im yodu Hashem mitzas obdikchavim nosim bo yayin, umuksasamein nosim yayin, if you know that there are certain vendors that do put yayin in, and others that do not, azinu basarubat kol deparash meru b'parash. Then you have to follow the road, because kol deparash meru b'parash. Aval asu liknos mehem bebateim dekol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. That everything that's kavua is kemechza al mechza. So the Shach says not only about in their homes, but also stores would be considered kavua. So that's something that you have to be able to determine what's, meaning the whole halacha is going to change based on where you got it. If it's a street vendor that's not at, in his location, and he's just moving around, versus someone where you're buying from their house, can you follow Rov, or can you follow, or do you say that it's Mechza al Mechza, and you have to follow Savit Rabban Al-Klul, Savit Araisa, L'chumma. In contemporary times, it used to be that most glycerin used to be vegetable glycerin, but not so much anymore. So, or even if that is the case. Let's say glycerin is one of those products, one of those ingredients that could be made out of animal products or it could be made out of vegetable products. So let's say the majority are made out of vegetable products. So can you rely, called the parish Meruba parish? So if you buy where they make it, then you have kalkavua. But if you buy it in a vending machine, then it's called the parish. So we would then need to talk about what the halacha is in a retail store where they didn't manufacture it. Is that called kavua? Meaning in most stores, they get delivery from where it's originally made. So where it's originally made, that's called kavua. If you buy it in a vending machine, that's called the parish. What about a store? You go to your local supermarket. Is that called kavua or is that called the parish? How do you determine what's called kalkavua and what's called the parish? So the Mata Yehonasan in Tzimkuf Yudalin over there writes, based on the Shach over here in Tzimkuf Yudalin, Kaimel will normally call kavua rakashi isr nikr b'makavah. Kol kavua is only if the isr is nikr b'makavah. Masha'en kein b'she'en nikr. Im kein kasha ha'hacha in isr yadua v'nikr. V'tzarech lomar kibadim ayinu rotzim lakar v'lidlo shmiyad haya efshal leidol v'ara davrim kein nikr nikr. He has a chiddush. That if in the place of origin, the place where the thing was made, you could have found out, had you gotten there when he was making it, just because you come in a moment later and it's not nikr, it's still called nikr b'makoma. Meaning, even though by the time I got there, I didn't know, it wasn't nikr to me, whether it's kosher or not, whether the person is a Jewish person or not, whatever it might be, but if I would have been there a moment earlier, it would have been nikr at the time that he was making it. That's called nikr b'makomo, and it has the din of kol kavua, kemechsa mechsa dami. This has the following two applications. Chazanish discusses kelim that are made in a factory and then are sold in a store. So let's say a frum Jew owns a store. Do you need to tovel those kelim? So he doesn't know which glasses came from where, the frum Jew that owns the store. Some of his suppliers are Jewish, some of them are not Jewish. So he received the delivery of them, he knew which ones came from Jewish factories and which ones didn't, but now they're all sold tarotas in his store. So it's kavua, because that's called nikr b'makomo. Meaning, had you been there a moment earlier, at the time of the delivery, you would have known which came from where, so that's called nikr b'makomo. If, however, a mumer or a non-Jew owns the store, so neither of them have nemanos, then that's not called nikr b'makomo. Right? It's not nikr b'makomo. Because even had you been there a bit earlier, he would not have had nemanos to tell you what came from what. Even before it got mixed together. So that's the yesod of the Mata Yehonasan, that even if it were once nikr b'makomo, it takes on the status of kavua, and it keeps that status of kavua, even though later on it's not nikr b'makomo. Which brings us to Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans is a mortgage broker. They do advertisements. There's an arena in Cleveland, right? Because the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers I'm not sure if it still is, Dan Gilbert, who is a Jewish guy, and he's the owner of Quicken Loans. Now, Quicken Loans does mortgages. Mortgages is lending money b'ribis. Halacha is not only not allowed to lend money b'ribis, you're also not allowed to borrow money with ribis. So when you, and like, Quicken Loans is one of the largest mortgage lenders in the country. Right, there's a reason why Dan Gilbert could afford things like the Cleveland Cavaliers. Right, so it was a major problem. A lot of people had mortgages with Quicken Loans. So they had a whole ASEC to try to get him to do a heter iska. It was not pashut. It was a big. He said no at first. Reisman was involved because he wrote the book. So he said that very nice guy. He said, like, you can see he's a real good to neshama, just as a tinuk shemeshba. And it took ultimately a business contact of his from Detroit, the gear in Detroit that makes everything happen. Gary Torgo to make it happen. And he said that what happened was he had said no, and then on the night, it was during the NBA Finals, and so the Cleveland Cavs were in the NBA Finals. They were down 3-1, and And Pam Gilbert said, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Let's try to make it happen. And he made a $50,000 donation to Beis Yehuda in Detroit on that same night. And Cleveland won the next two games, then they lost.
2017 or 2016?
What? 2017 or 2016? I don't know. But you can see. So Rabbi Rosenberg says, it's not going to be any Pesach Chromebook because they lost Game 7. But wait a few more years when people forget that they lost, and then we'll be able to be in the books because then you can change the facts. But in the meantime, so anyway, that's what I. So what was the issue? What was the Indian? So the way it works. Quicken Loans was owned 70%, let's see if we have time to do this, 70% by one Jew, by Dan Gilbert, and lots of people have mortgages. So a group got together to try to convince them to do a Heter Iska. And like we said, the original effort fell apart. They tried a second time, and they needed to make sure that all the major poskim were maskim. So they went to Rav David Feinstein, Zichron Levracha, Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shlomo Miller, many Hasidish poskim as well. They went to try to make sure that they had a broad base of support, and they did a really good Heter Iska ultimately. So Rav Reisman said that when he went to Rav David Feinstein to talk about it, the following issue came up. Our sugya came up. How does our sugya come up? Because we're not learning ribbons. So he said, here's the issue. It used to be that if you took a 30-year mortgage, you pay the same bank for 30 years. Right? You buy a house. So, I don't know, when I bought my first house, you don't like when I use big numbers, it scares you. So let's say I bought my first house for $5,000. And, and I put down a $1,000 down payment. So I have a $4,000 mortgage that I'm going to pay over 30 years. 12 cents a month over 30 years. And incorporated in my monthly payment is going to be all the ribbis. But it was always to the same bank, right? That's the way it would be. Over the past few decades, that model has changed a lot. The way it works now is there are loan originators, and Quicken does a mortgage, and then they immediately turn around and they sell the mortgage. Meaning Quicken is not interested in going after you for 30 years for your money and taking the loss when you default on the mortgage. So they sell the mortgage to someone else who's willing to take that on. And usually the turnover rate is a matter of days. At the time that they started the discussion with Quicken, it was about a 2-week turnover rate until they sold the mortgage. By the time they finished their discussions with Quicken, it was 2 or 3 days. Like the turnover, it's extremely fast. So I remember a few times I got letters that your mortgage is now owned by whatever, and made no nafkamina because you still paid to the same processing company. So a lot of times the balabatim don't even realize it. Balabatim, I mean owners of homes, don't even realize it because they're getting their bill every month from Quicken, right? Because Quicken is a processing company. They're still gonna be involved in that. But the loan is not from Quicken anymore. So l'chora, you don't need a heter iska from Quicken themselves because you're never going to pay them a penny of interest. The first month you don't pay interest anyway, so you're not going to pay them a penny of interest. So l'chora, you don't need. So then, what's your issue with ribbis? What's the issue? Maybe the people who bought the loans, right? The banks who bought the loans, maybe they're owned by Jews also. If Dan Gilbert can own a company like Quicken, maybe others, right? So the shaila is: do you say? Yeah, but most people in America are not Jewish. Most bankers in America are not Jewish. A smaller most, but still most, are not Jewish. So called the Parish Meruba Parish. Or, do you say Kol Kavo Kmechzal Nechzadani? And it's 50-50 on Nisan Ribbis Midaraisa and Ribbis Ketzutza Midaraisa, and therefore you have to be Machmir. Right, so that was the Indian that Rabbi Reisman was hacking out with Rav David Feinstein. So the way the Heter Iska was written is that you make Quicken a shliach to get a loan from a guy, and you now have a loan with the new people. So Rav David was concerned with relying on the idea that the people that they sell to are Goyim, because Quicken doesn't tell you who they sold it to. And again, your bills, Quicken is still the servicing company, so you're still getting the bills from Quicken. You're never going to know who they sold it to. So Rav David said that, yeah, it's Rov Ganyim, but this is a question of Kavua. So we say, Savik Daraisa L'chumba. Right, Quicken, when they sell, they just turn it over quickly. It's not even a secure loan always, and that's what led to the whole mortgage bubble and meltdown in the early 2000s. you know, that whatever. So so if a bank comes to me, right, then it's called the parish. It's called the parish merubah parish. If I go to a bank, it's called kavua. Right, that was the halach. If I go, to, if the vendor is a street vendor and he's coming around door to door, he's going down the streets. I remember when I was a kid, my grandparents lived in Rehovot. There was a guy that would literally ride a donkey down the streets of Rehovot with a wagon holding watermelons, and he would just shout to all the apartment buildings, "Avatiach, matok, matok," and people would run down. And I'm not 150 years old, but I remember this as a kid, and like people would run down. So, that, so if he was selling treif avatiach, whatever, I don't know. There's not, but that's called the parish. But if I go to him, if I go to the store, then it's called kavua. So nowadays, nobody goes anywhere. Everyone stays in their office, and they click, right, and then everything happens. So what do you call that? Is that called kavur or is that called the parish? Everything's over the internet. The money is all electronically transferred. So if a bank or a lending company is nicker b'makomo, it's kavua. If even b'makomo it's not nicker, like walking into a mortgage lender and not knowing if it's Jewish, then it would not even be nicker b'makomo and would therefore not be kavua. So what happens if something is nicker but only one or two people know about it? So it's nicker but not readily nicker. For example, there's a guy that we don't know if he's Jewish or not. And take away the mortgage case. Let's say a guy, we don't know if he's Jewish or not, he's mezana with a woman. And we want to know if she's mutaris l'kuhuna. Just got a shayla about that last week also, right? So that MS. that guy is dating a girl and she was mezana with somebody, not clear whether he was Jewish or not. So can he marry her if he's a kohen? So the person is parish, so you could assume he's not Jewish. You know, if it's nicker where he came from, then it's kavua. What if Echad B'Sofa Olam knows that he's Jewish? You can investigate his Judaism. So the place he holds that that's called kavua and nicker. Prima Gadim, his introduction to kavua, seems to hold that way as well. However, many great posts from the Chavz Das, the Chach Masad, and the Chazan Ish, in Simon Lamed Zayin Osid Gimel Rav Moshe, and Arachayim Chedek Alv Sim Kovayim Ches, all say nicker Mekomo means easily nicker. If it's difficult for it to be nicker, then it's not nicker b'makomo. So Chacham Sadim says, if one person says that I know a mamzeres somewhere in the world, then everybody in the world would become aser because kol kavua kamech samechud, right? Because it's the tarovis of the ganze welt, and it's kol kavua because someone it's nicker b'makomo for someone. So Bina Sadim writes that it has to be makiro b'fenenu v'roi l'skalos, that the person who recognized them is here and it could become revealed. With many of the unknown lending companies, somebody knows about it, but most people don't know about it. So if a guy owns the Cavaliers in half of Detroit and everybody knows about him, but most of these places that they, you know, that's one thing, that's everybody knows about it, that's nicker b'makomo. But most of these people that he's selling off to are these tiny little banks somewhere else, so that maybe is not nicker b'makomo. That's Tully and this machlokas. Somebody somewhere knows about it, but it's not readily discernible. So these are like the cases where these halachos come alive. And like that's why you need gedolim, because who's holding in this, right? I mean, that's why you need gedolim to be able to determine what the psak halacha is going to be in these cases. I got to run. I'm going to be late. So everyone have a great day. Great Shabbos.